Gracious God, we give you the thanks for the opportunity and blessings to be able to gather and worship with you and together. We ask that your Holy Spirit be in the midst of us, opening our ears and our hearts to receive your message today. Grant us your wisdom and your discernment. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the word love is mentioned in the Bible over 700 times. It's a word that resonates deeply with us. And yet, despite its frequency, we often struggle to fully grasp the true depth and meaning of this seemingly simple word, yet profound and powerful. We talk about love in many contexts, loving family and friends, and even our favorite activities. But the kind of love Jesus calls us to live out goes far beyond familiar expressions. In today's world, the word love can feel overused, almost diluted by how casually we throw it around. But the love Jesus speaks of in John 13 is anything but ordinary. It's a love that has the power to transform lives, to bridge divides, and to reveal the very nature of God himself. Love is the only thing that has the transformational power to change not just the life of an individual, but the course of history. It was love that moved God to create us. Love that sent Jesus to the cross. And love that raised him from the dead. It's this same divine love that we are called to live in daily. The Apostle John reminds us in 1 John 4:16, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. And whoever lives in God and God in them." This verse encapsulates the essence of what it means to be a follower of Christ. To live in love. To dwell in the very presence of God through our love for one another and him. I would like to share an experience with you that brought this truth to life for me. I have the blessing and the honor to lead and facilitate cohorts for pastors and ministry leaders. And a few months ago, we gathered for a retreat, bringing together the two separate cohorts for the first time. Well over 25 pastors who had never officially met each other. We decided to meet at a local restaurant, and from the moment we arrived, the atmosphere was filled with laughter and sharing and genuine camaraderie. You would have thought that we had known each other all our lives. We engaged with the waitress, not just as a server, but as a person, laughing and joking with her, extending patience and grace as she waited on our large group. It wasn't just about good manners. It was about genuinely caring for her as a person, reflecting the love we received from Christ. As the evening progressed, the waitress couldn't help but ask, "Who are you people?" she said. "I have served many large groups before, but not like this group. There's something different about you guys. I'm so grateful for your kindness and patience. You don't often find that in my line of work." Her words struck me. Here was a woman who had seen countless groups come and go, but something about the way we treated her and each other stood out. She noticed something different, something that made her curious enough to ask about our identity. When we explained who we were and that many of us were meeting each other for the first time, she was amazed. She then asked for prayer for herself and for a sick family member. This simple act of love and kindness opened the door for ministry, for sharing the love of Christ with someone who needed it. This experience powerfully illustrates the truth of Jesus' words. "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus gave his disciple this new commandment, not just to love, but to love as he loved. This radical, self-giving, sacrificial love. And it's through this love that people will know we are his disciples. It's a love that doesn't just talk, but acts. A love that doesn't just feel, but transforms. This wasn't just a call to love, but it's a call to witness through love. Our love for one another is meant to be a visible sign to the world of who we are and whose we are. It's meant to stand out, to be so different from what the world is used to seeing that people can't help but to take notice and ask, "Who are you people?" I think about the impact we had on that waitress. She never expected that during her work hours, she would encounter a glimpse of the love of God, not through a sermon or handing out a tract, but through the simple, genuine interactions of a group of strangers. In a world often characterized by division and indifference and self-interest, our love for one another stood out to her. It was something she couldn't ignore, something that prompted her to inquire about our identity. Our love for one another is like a beacon, a testimony to who we are and whom we serve. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, "By this everyone will know you are my disciples." When we love one another as Christ commanded, we bear witness to his love. And that witness has the power to draw others to him. So the question now is, how often does our love for one another prompt others to ask, Who are you people? How often do our actions and interests reflect the love of Christ so profoundly that others take notice and are drawn to know more about the God we serve? In practical terms, what does this look like? It means being intentional about how we treat one another, both inside and outside the church. It means showing grace and patience even when it's difficult. It means extending kindness to those who may not deserve it, and forgiveness to those who have wronged us. It means being known by our love, not just by what we say, but what we do. Consider a lighthouse on a stormy night. Its light cuts through the darkness, guiding ships to safety. Our love for one another is like this light. In a world filled with darkness and confusion, it shines brightly, guiding others to the harbor of Christ's love. When we love each other as Jesus commanded, we become living testimonies of his grace and truth. But let's go even deeper. The love we share and portray toward others is not just to give the warm and fuzzies to those we know and meet. It has a greater purpose: to reveal the love of the one true source of all love. This is a love that is unmatched and never ending. A love that has the power to transform. A love that is offered to us to share in for all eternity. When we love one another as Christ loves us, we participate in something far greater than ourselves. We become part of God's mission to redeem and restore the world. Our love becomes a testimony to the reality of God's love, a love that can change hearts, heal wounds, and bring hope to the hopeless. As I close, I want to challenge each of us to reflect on our lives. Are we living in such a way that others can see the love of Christ in us? Are our interactions with others marked by the kind of love that makes people ask, "Who are you?" and ultimately points them to Jesus? As we go about our daily lives, let's remember that our love for one another is not just about fulfilling a commandment. It's about showing the world who we belong to. It's about a living witness to the transformative power of God's love. When we love one another genuinely, we reflect Christ's love, and people can't help but notice. Let's commit to being living testimonies of God's love. Let's allow the love of Christ to flow through us so that by this, everyone will know that we are his disciples. And in doing so, may our lives lead others to God, who is love, who loves us in an everlasting love, and who invites us to share that love with the world. Amen. Please, sorry about that. Making sure you're awake. Please join me as I close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love you have shown us through your Son. Help us to live out this love daily, so that through your actions and our words, others may come to know you. Let our lives be a testimony of your grace. And may our love be a light that shines brightly in a world that desperately needs it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.